content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the December 2020 digital issue of Lion Magazine. And we'll begin this today with the President's message titled, You Make the Difference. Greetings, Lions. We often talk about the power of Lions working together in service. As an association of more than 48,000 clubs and 1.4 million members, Lions have the opportunity to make a big impact in the world. In Lion Year 2019 to 2020, our clubs performed more than 820,000 service projects, helping 319 million people. And we did this by working together. However, today I want to talk about the power of the individual. In trying times like the world faces today, it is easy to feel insignificant, to think the world's problems are too large for one person to solve. Maybe you feel too busy to give ample time to a cause, or maybe you have restrictions that make it difficult to serve in the way that you would like. The truth is that we need each and every one of you. One person can make a difference. We are each unique and bring to the world something that no one else does. We are the world's largest service organization, but we are made up of individuals, people who have stepped up and said, I will do what I can. And that has made all the difference. Thank you for bringing your unique goodness to the world and to the Lions. Sincerely, Dr. Yung-Jul Choi, International President of Lions Clubs International. And next, we're going to go right to one of our feature articles from Sweden titled, Christmas is for the Birds. For generations, the Swedes have fostered the holiday spirit by saving the last cuttings of the harvest to make a julkarva, or yule sheaf. It's a bundle of oats that's hung on a lamppost, fence, or barn to feed the birds on Christmas morning. As legend goes, if many birds come to eat, a good crop will follow. But it is also a reminder that to all that no matter how lean the times, people have to share. The Lions of Grillby, about 50 miles from Stockholm, have honored this heartwarming tradition since they chartered in 1965, making and selling the popular sheaves of oats. But the Lions aren't just sharing their bounty with the birds, including the red-breasted bullfinch, Sweden's popular Christmas bird. Year-round, they are using the $4,000 they earned from the sales to support diabetes and cancer research, Lions Quest, scholarships, Syrian refugee children in Turkey, and efforts to bring clean water to the people of Somalia. They sow the oats each spring on Lion Girth Thorsel's land, and in August, the harvest begins. There is nothing new or high-tech about the process, says Lion George Nilsson. That's what makes it special. The self-binder from the 1950s is stored at Thorsel's, where it has to be tuned up each year to keep it running the next year and the year after. On harvest day, with Thorsel driving the tractor and Lion Leonard Sjolberg manning the bushel binder, the machine cuts and bundles the stalks of grain that are then left in the field to dry. When dried, more Lions in the club of 19 will gather as many as 500 bushels and transport them home. For a few days and evenings in October and November, club members will work together to check the sheaves for flaws, making sure the straw ends are chopped evenly and the band around them is tight before packaging. In the package, there's often a Christmas greeting from the Lions and a note telling the buyer what organizations will be supported by their purchase. This year, the club had 1,740 sheaves to package and sell. Cartloads of sheaves are brought to their small town as Christmas approaches. With people eager to buy bunches of them, and with Lion Justice Wallstrom taking the lead for the club, they sell them door-to-door and at Christmas markets for about $5 each, not only making money, but also promoting their club. Support from neighboring clubs helps too. Since 1965, Lions Club Grillby has collected more than $238,000, which has gone in full to our relief activities, says Nelson, a Lion for more than 25 years. We expect to continue selling Christmas shards for many years to come. Our next feature article is titled Play With Me and subtitled Ball for Children Without Sight Aims to Create a More Inclusive World. Elias Mastoras couldn't believe that he hadn't seen the need to help young children who are blind play soccer. For years, Mastoras has helped make blind soccer popular across the world. Mastoras, a youth soccer trainer, became a referee for adult blind soccer games in 1999. He worked as a Paralympics referee in 2004 during the sport's Paralympic debut in Greece, his home country, and in 2016, he became the global referee coordinator for the Paralympic Games in Brazil. He's seen how much joy players get out of the game and how much fire they bring. But one day, when giving a blind soccer ball to a three-year-old child, Mastoras realized the ball would be far too heavy for him. The ball used in blind soccer is bulkier than a normal soccer ball, weighing more than a pound due to the steel ball bearings inside. The bearings rattle as the ball moves so that blind soccer players can locate the ball by ear. But the added bulk of the ball made it hard for young children to play with, Mastoras realized. This was a heartbreaking realization for Mastoras. Children who are blind are often left out of play in school since they can't see a traditional ball, and they are typically the only child without sight in their schools. So they're left to listen on as other children play. I always say to my trainees, think outside of the box, Mastoras says. But it took me 20 years to realize that there's a need to have a lightweight sound ball that young children could put in their bag, take to school, and play with everybody. Mastoras knew that he had to do something. In 2017, he created a mini sound ball, one that rattles just like the official blind soccer ball, but is light enough for a two-year-old child. Mastoras created the Ball for All campaign, which is promoted by Youtherama, his nonprofit located in Greece. So far, a Ball for All has given out between 3,500 and 4,500 balls. The balls can only be donated and are never for sale. The ball comes with a package, including a DVD and a manual, which also comes in Braille, for how to play other games with the ball. In return, Mastoras asked recipients to send back pictures to confirm that they received their package. So far, he's received pictures back from 142 countries, some of which he didn't know existed. Often, the photos are of young children who have taken to the ball with them to bed, falling asleep with it cradled in their arms. The most powerful experience is a Lion. Panos Sinodinos, a Lion who belongs to Greek club Thessalonica Heraclea, met Mastoras in 2019 during a common service activity. During the activity, people were blindfolded and led around by guide dogs to experience what it was like to be blind. Mastoras brought the mini sound balls to the event. Sinodinos, his blindfold removed, was immediately taken by the idea of giving such a ball to children. Sinodinos put together a plan and pitched the idea to his club. It worked. They ordered 30 balls, a Lion's logo printed on each, then offered them up to Lions around the world through social media. So far, his club has sent balls to Lions in 10 countries, including Paraguay, the Dominican Republic, and Denmark. Banner Saloon Frederikshavn Lions Club in Denmark presented a ball to a 14-year-old boy named Mads, who was born blind. Banner Saloon Lion Kurt Mehta said it was a great pleasure to see the effect the ball had on the boy. Mads was immediately on the floor with his mother, Pia, and the ball was kicked, Mehta said. Mads said that he would have to take the ball to school the following Monday and play ball with his seeing friends. It's a small ball, but it's a big joy. Maud's parents, Pia and Lars, said that the ball has made a big difference for their family. Over the years, Mads has had many surgeries on his face and eyes, enduring more pain than any child should have to face. But the ball brings him joy. Mads brings it everywhere. He often brings it to school and daycare and loves playing with his friends there, his parents say. Thessalonica Heraclea Lions also donated balls to local children in Greece. Synodinos was touched when they received big, excited hugs from one particular child. "We believe in this project," he says. "It really inspires us. This is the strength of our organization, in my opinion. We take something small, and we make it even bigger. A ball for the entire world." These moments of joy happening across the world are why Synodinos feels that a Ball for All campaign has been his most powerful experience as a Lion. He's never seen a project that has had such great impact from such a small donation. In 2021, Synodinos said that his club will host a Europa Forum and will push to get enough donations to donate the ball across the world and further spread the joy that it brings. "This is such a small act of kindness, but you offer so much joy that even if you could donate thousands of dollars, this joy is much bigger," Synodinos says. And it's only the start. In the near future, we will probably be able to donate hundreds or even thousands of these balls. This is a huge impact that LCI can offer to our world. Lions have enabled Mastoras to reach beyond his network, and many, like Synodinos, have taken the project on as if it were their own. "We know about Lions' commitment," Mastoras says. "We know that they will take the ball into their local community, and it will make an impact." Mastoras' goal is to donate the ball to someone in every country across the world by the end of 2021, but he also has a larger goal. He wants to help create a more inclusive society, one where all children, sighted or blind, are included in play. And our next article is Parading Around. Lions find a way to celebrate Labor Day safely. For more than a century, the people of Pickerington, Ohio, have celebrated Labor Day in a big way. And for 72 of those years, the Pickerington Lions Clubs have run the show. Past years have featured horse shows, flower shows, boxing matches, and horse races. But two things have always been constant: a parade and the Lions Club's fabulous fish fry. And then along came 2020, says Lion Jeannie Mauger. Down but not out, the Lions tossed around ideas of how they could carry on this tradition, especially important to Pictonians since every other community event for the summer had been canceled. With COVID-19 state restrictions on group events, they couldn't see any way that they could comply. But they are Lions, and they figured it out. A drive-by parade with optional carry-out fish dinners would entertain the town and keep their families safe. With the backing of Pickerington's mayor, Lion Lee Gray, the club enlisted a local restaurant to help with the fish dinners and invited all of the usual parade participants: fire departments, club car clubs, bands, community businesses, sports teams, and politicians to take part. A firefighter truck with raised boom and flags started them off, and then progress was steady as the cars snaked down a little traveled road that connects two main streets to one of the high schools. At the end of the stationary parade, there was an optional loop to the fish fry where the restaurant handled the fish dinners prepared and packaged on site. Final tally was more than 35 parade entries, nearly 400 fish dinners sold, and 350-plus cars driving by the parade, representing more than 1,000 parade viewers. "Community spirit was raised 1,000%, says Mauger. "We received so many positive comments and thank yous. One lady admitted that the neighborly get-together made her a little teary, and several parents said they liked this drive-through version better than a normal parade. There were no worries about parking or wrestling strollers, plus they could enjoy the AC in their own vehicle." And next, from our Global Service Department, from the United States, tornado puts small town in a tailspin. When an EF3 tornado tore through Seneca, South Carolina last spring, destroying more than 200 homes and damaging another 1,700, it passed within 1/4 mile of the Golden Corner Food Pantry, the largest food pantry in Oconee County. They serve an average of 1,000 households a month, including hundreds of seniors. The city of Seneca asked that the pantry coordinate distribution of food to tornado victims, of which there were many in the close-knit town of 8,000, and to volunteers assisting in cleanup operations. But that became more challenging when the pantry lost power for 6 days and had no backup power source. Who helps the helpers? The Seneca Lions, long devoted volunteers at the pantry, quickly stepped up. Pantry Executive Director Jeff Heaton scrambled to find a solution as the pantry was now serving 1,000 people a day who were without electricity or water. He immediately secured a 26-foot refrigerated truck. Club members put out the call for support, and funds were immediately contributed by the Seneca, Greenville West End, Winsboro, Salem, Murrells Inlet, Taylor's, Lexington, and Clemson Lions Clubs. The primary need was the acquisition of a backup generator to ensure that this wouldn't happen again. The Lions applied for a $20,000 community recovery grant from LCIF, and it was immediately approved, enabling them to pay half of the $40,000 needed for a gas generator and the equipment required to back up the entire facility. Donations from the community took care of the rest. Heaton says when the tornado hit, the pantry became the area's predominant food supply source for both donations and for distribution. With the stress of COVID-19 on families and the unemployment caused by the pandemic, the tornado exacerbated the great need already present in this small community, making it more important than ever to get the pantry up and functioning. Work continues on the roads and infrastructure, as well as some homes even today. We're still in the recovery process, Heaton says, but our numbers have stabilized. The Lions are a great bunch of folks, really a blessing that's non-monetary. Help is hard to get, and they've been great in labor and kindness. We'll get back. In another article from Global Service, prescription pill bottles get new life. Donated bottles help keep medication safe and effective and solve a recycling problem. Americans are used to receiving their prescription medications in hard plastic orange bottles with child safety caps that keep pills stable. This isn't the case for many living in low or middle-income countries around the world, where medications can be dispensed in folded paper scraps, leaving them vulnerable to weather or accidental ingestion. A Cincinnati-based nonprofit, Matthew 25, accepts donations of used, cleaned pill bottles and ships them overseas where they can be used to safely distribute needed medicine. For the past 2 years, the Stafford County Lions and St. Luke's Anglican Church have been collecting pill bottles to send to the organization. One person's trash is another person's treasure. And this truly is a treasure to people who are seeing their medications degrade, says Sharon Gaylord, who leads the effort for the Lions Club. And it's good for our earth, too. Orange prescription pill bottles are made from number 5 plastic or polypropylene. Excuse me. The qualities that make number 5 plastic ideal for storing medications, durability, and heat resistance also make it difficult to recycle. China used to buy much of the United States number 5 plastic, but stopped this practice in 2018. Without that market, the U.S. recycling industry is having to figure out how to deal with the plastic on its own. Gaylord read about Matthew 25's mission to provide medical supplies and disaster relief to the most needy countries in a newspaper article and felt inspired to start a local effort to support the nonprofit. As Lions, we have a multifold mission, but part of it is environmental, Gaylord says. The Stafford Lions Club also works with businesses and individuals to recycle printer inkjets, toners, cell phones, laptops, and eyeglasses. The pill bottle drive fit well with its mission. Gaylord is also a member of St. Luke's Anglican Church in Southern Stafford, and she put out the word to the congregation about the pill bottle drive. In the past 2 years, Gaylord said she sends a shipment of pill bottles to Matthew 25 every 4 or 6 months. I've got a box of about 1,000 bottles right now that I'm getting ready to send off, she says. Matthew 25 asks for donated pill bottles to have all labels and glue or residue cleaned thoroughly off of them, and then for them to be cleaned, dried, recapped, and placed in clear Ziploc bags. Gaylord and her friend and fellow Lion Karen Taylor work together to clean bottles that haven't already been prepared for donation. It's a bit labor-intensive, and it can be difficult to get the stickers off, Gaylord says. She swears by Goo Gone for the job. I find if I soak them in hot water, that softens the paper, and then I spray them well with Goo Gone, and I put them in a plastic bag, zip them up, and let them sit. And it's amazing how fast it comes off. If the used pill bottles aren't acceptable for donation with other medical supplies, Matthew 25 will recycle them to generate revenue. Gaylord said she'd like to see the pill bottle recycling effort spread. It's something that other organizations could do very easily, she says. It's really just a matter of cleaning them and putting them into boxes. Shipping can be expensive, but she and her husband consider it a donation to the Lions Clubs for the moment, because the COVID-19 situation has caused the club's fundraising efforts to dry up. She also believes Matthew 25's mission to care for a needy world with the things we can throw away is worth it. The whole idea of Matthew 25 is to help the very poorest of the poor, she said. It's recycling, and it is helping. And I'd like to read one article from the Lion Magazine Vault entitled The Psychology of Helping: Why Individual Stories Matter. When a photo appeared in September 2015 of a 3-year-old Syrian boy who drowned while trying to reach Europe with his family, the world seemed to momentarily open its eyes to a refugee crisis that had been quietly building for years. The boy's name was Alan Curdy, and in the wake of his death, donations to charities helping refugees surged. Migrant Offshore Aid Station, an international humanitarian aid organization dedicated to providing aid and emergency medical relief to refugees and migrants around the world, received a, quote, tidal wave of support. Donations to the Red Cross, which had set up a fund specifically to aid Syrian refugees in the weeks before Alan's death, were 100 times greater during the week after publication of the photo than the week before. According to the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, also known as UNHCR, in 2015 there was an estimated 60 million refugees worldwide, a number that has grown to 69 million in 2018. More than 3,770 people died trying to cross the Mediterranean to reach Europe that year. But it took the image of a boy face down on a Turkish beach for the world to wake up to the crisis. It is true that a picture is worth 1,000 words, but there's more to it than that. Paul Slovic, the president of Decision Research and professor of psychology at the University of Oregon, who studies risk and decision-making, has a simple explanation for this sudden surge of interest and action. The human brain is bad at math. In what Slovic calls, quote, the arithmetic of compassion, the human brain fails to multiply one person's suffering by millions. In fact, he says research shows that the more who die, the less we care. The refugee crisis wasn't new, but the photo tapped into what the human brain does best, empathize with the individual. In that one photo, many people saw their own child at that age, or their nephew or grandson or little brother. They could connect emotionally, and that enabled them to respond with action. Slovic's research has shown that statistics of mass tragedies don't elicit the emotional response required to provoke action. This is because the brain has two different ways of processing information, fast and slow. Fast thinking relies on instinct and is what we typically call our, quote, gut reaction. Slow thinking relies on careful deliberation and logic. People tend to rely on fast thinking in most daily decision making. But intuitive feelings don't do math very well. The brain is unable to empathize with groups, so when presented with a large number of people affected by a tragedy, we can't add up the suffering of one and translate it to the many. This emotional insensitivity is called psychic numbing, and it doesn't just apply to large groups of people. The effect is seen when the number goes from just one to two. People will risk their own life to save one person nearby, says Slovic, but as numbers increase, the lives don't feel as valuable. In addition to psychic numbing, good intentions are often derailed by a false sense that what we can do won't help. One study Slovic and his team gave two groups of participants an opportunity to help a starving child. In one group, the participants were shown just the photo of the child. In the second group, they were shown the photo, accompanied by statistics about the number of children starving in that region of the world. The researchers thought the statistics might encourage more people to donate, but they did not. The participants who saw the statistics donated 40% less. It turns out people didn't feel as good as donating to one child when there were many more they could not help. We help others not only because they need our help, but because we get a good feeling, a warm glow when we help them, says Slovic. The trouble is that it doesn't feel as good to help someone when our attention is drawn to the fact that there are others who we are not able to help. And I'm going to abridge just for time, but what it says is Slovic notes that it's important to understand that these psychological effects, because that it is the only way to overcome them. We can't assume that statistics will capture the attention of the community or motivate them to take action, no matter how large the numbers. I want to emphasize that the indifference to suffering is not the result of behavior of bad people, says Slovic in a talk he gave in Kenya in June of 2018. It results from psychological tendencies that affect all of us if we don't understand how they work and take steps to prevent them from misleading us. Be aware and protect against the false sense of inefficiency or inefficacy, he says. None of these can fix the problems by ourselves, but we all can do something meaningful. Even small actions can make a difference to one or more individuals. And he comments that what it means for Lions is if we can take these four steps, it can help. Make it personal. Tell individual stories. Bring beneficiaries into life by communicating their hopes and dreams. Give concrete ways to help. And finally, think small. Show your community how a small effort can make a big impact, even if it doesn't fix the whole problem. And now we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that's 919-832-5138. Have a great day.